Church. It's good to have you here. Summer has happened, hasn't it? It has turned. And Sarah and I are crying our eyes out because we are winter people. But it's summer and everyone else is happy. Who's happy about summer? Yeah, it's going to be good. It's going to be a good summer. Before I get into it, can we thank the worship team? They were amazing. I said to the previous service, so it sounds repetitive to me, but not to you because you're hearing it for the first time. Dan had a cold or a flu symptoms this week and he's like, but I'm going to be there and stuff. And I'm like, I sing better when I've got the flu. But Dan just led beautifully, I thought, with Jaylene as well. Amazing people. And Jaylene, you know, she runs kids and everything like this as well. And so thank you, team. We love you. You led us so well today. Give them a hand. Come on. If we're going to do a hand, we do it properly. Before I get into it, though, we also need to welcome Joan Monnery, Ali's mum, who's here today. I love it when the husbands are away in Myanmar. All the mums, the grandparents fly in, and I love that. It's so, so good. And Jeremy is back from the States. It is so good to have you back. I loved that photo of you on the stairs. Was it the Met? So good. In New York. He was in New York, among other places, San Fran as well, and... Just New York. It's like just Miranda, just New York. Good to have you back. Really good to have you back. And good to have Tim and Milani back too. Those jealousy inciting photographs that you put up. Terrible. They look beautiful. It looked like you had a really good time. We are a church in two cities of the world this week. So there is Shire Live Sydney, which you're a part of this morning, and Shire Live Yangon in Myanmar as well. So why don't we have a look at a couple of the photos? Look at Chris. What a boss. they're having a brilliant time. They flew into Yangon yesterday and some flew in the day before. And they are this morning flying out to their first destination in Myanmar. And they are doing an incredible thing. They're all excited. They had their big team meeting last night and they're all getting prepped and so forth. And Pastor Brad, Pastor Jared and Warren are over there with the team. And it's just really exciting. It is a profound time in Myanmar's history. Commerce is going through the roof. Infrastructure is growing up after this military dictatorship that went on for many, many years. And so I think we're going to look back on this time and go, wow, it was really the opportune time of God. And there is a lot of Shire Live people over there currently, like about 20% of a service normally. So, yeah, we are one church in two cities. How good's that? I want to talk about Gala as well. Who loved Friday night? Thought that was incredible. If you are a youth pastor or a youth leader, stand to your feet. Stand up. Come on. They did an incredible job. But I especially want to thank our youth pastors, Alex, Alyssa and Jackson, who did a phenomenal job of Gala. And just really Shire Live Youth, without exaggerating it, is the foremost youth service, I believe, in the Sutherland Shire. And so though Friday night was about amazing performances, catering and just a really good time, really what happens in the breadth of our youth ministry is leadership training, resilience development, friendship growth, learning to get on with all different age groups, values, basically life skills in an incredibly fun and dynamic package that our youth leaders put on every week. And so it was just amazing to celebrate what happens on any given week at Gala. So you guys did an amazing job. Thank you for what you're doing and what you do within the life of our church. We found out that we're having a boy this week. That's not the special announcement, by the way. That's just our special announcement. So, which is permission now for me to buy a female dog of any variety I like. So if anyone wants to give me a Dalmatian or a Weimaraner for Christmas, puppy, of course, I'm okay with that. Got to be a girl, though, because my house is going to be overflowing with boys, which we like. We love boys. Boys are great. Who is a parent of solely boys? Please. Lay on your advice. So good. It's going to be really, really fun. This morning is a bit of a family chat. There will be word in it, I promise, so that, you know, you don't go running back to Pastor Brad that while he's gone, there's no word. And anyway, Pastor Ali is here to keep me on track. But it is, there's been obviously a really strong teaching on Joseph and we've been in the word solidly. This morning, I really feel like what God wanted wanted to do was have a family chat with us about some things. But before, because my topic is finishing strong, approaching the last leg of the year, right? And it's all about completion. I thought that it's probably good to get the disclaimer out of the way so I don't sound like a fake. So completion is a value of mine. People that know me do know that is true. But when it comes to washing books and cleaning up after cooking, probably not appropriate to say that's true. So while I'm prepping my sermon, my husband was folding the three baskets of washing I hadn't folded. And he's amazing and does it repeatedly every week because it's not a great strength of mine. And I feel kind of guilty about that. But I'm just not a good completer when it comes to the washing. He is. Books, I've always got 10 on the go. Sometimes one grabs me solidly and I'll sit up all night and get through it. But who has always a few books on the go beside their bed? I'm not a great completer instantly. It takes me time to get through a book because I've always got lots going on. And cleaning up after cooking, I'm sort of like, the performance is over. The fun bit's done. In my family, it was like, whoever cooked doesn't have to clean up, right? Different value for Andrew. No. I'm getting better at it. I am getting better at it. So there is something about those tasks for me that the last leg of them doesn't really matter. It's like, you know, the best bit's over, the clothes are now clean. Folding and ironing's kind of optional, right? and I can take my foot off the pedal. But in other things, I do have the satisfaction of finishing well and getting through that last leg. And I do, part of my, I think my life message is actually persevering through some difficult stuff and having the satisfaction in God of like going, yes, we completed it together, you know. I remember work that I was in for a very long time and I wanted to leave, but God, in my heart, I knew God was not releasing me. And I knew the joy of actually finishing well in that and watching a season change, even though I wanted to leave for a long time. And it was the satisfaction of completion. Who's ever had that with a work situation? I remember the year that I graduated from my master's degree, and it was the year that my mum died. And so very, very soon after her death, I remember standing in the main quad of Sydney University with two of my best friends and graduating and thinking, God, I am so grateful that when I felt like I was too busy, I didn't give up. When I felt like my life was full of grief, I didn't give up. God, for whatever reason, I got to complete this. I stuck it through. I didn't always get the top marks, but I finished. And thank God for that. It was a really satisfying moment. And I do want to say that Jackson has had that moment in the last few weeks. Jackson has completed his Bachelor of International Relations, yes, at UNSW. That'll do. Something like that. No, it is kind of that. And he like has done it working full time and stuff. And degrees aren't for everyone. It's not what I'm championing this morning, but what I'm proud of him for and proud of so many of our young people and older people who invest in improving themselves and lifelong learning in all different arenas is that he stuck it out and he finished it. And I'm really proud of you for that. So can we give him a hand? And like I said, it is a family chat this morning, so I do want to show you a photo. So, Hannah, if we could have this photo up. This photo, for me, represents completion in my life, and I'll explain why. The week that we had my son, I was 38 years old, and we actually settled, we sold, Andrew and I sold a property that we felt in God at the beginning of that year that God was encouraging us to sell. We sold at a really, really good time and we got a really, really positive price for it. It was just the blessing of God and wisdom that God helped us with timing. But it actually settled the week that Oliver was born. And so, you know, a couple of days after he was born, he's sitting on the doorstep while Andrew and I swept the patio ready for handover. It was just really funny. And I felt like this moment for me was a moment in God of saying, you know what? There's completion. You know, you waited, you trusted, you walked with me. I didn't know when things might resolve, or if they would at all, really. But at 38, I found myself married to a fantastic man in the purposes of God and in my call. I just had a baby and I just sold a property that I never thought I'd own, actually. In my 20s, I thought I'd die a martyr. Who needs a house if they're a martyr, right? But my desires changed in my early 30s. I really had this desire to own a piece of real estate. And through a series of circumstances, it became possible. But then it became the right time to sell. And my husband and I live in his home that he purchased before we married. And this was just a moment in time. And it was like the satisfaction of, thank you, God. Thank you that through the difficult times, and more came after that, don't you worry. Life is like that, isn't it? Life on this earth. And I think we are foolish to think it's not, because Jesus even said, in this world you will have troubles, right? But take heart, I've overcome, he says. And so I'm sure you're a lot like that. Stories where you struggle to finish, stories of great satisfaction and fulfillment in the completion of something in God. And throughout the Word of God, the struggle is real for a lot of the characters, particularly in that last leg of the journey. So we have been looking at Joseph. I'm not going to look at him this morning. But in that last leg, he had that frustration of knowing that darn cupbearer, darn well knew that he was gifted and stuck in that prison and promised to tell Pharaoh that he was there, and he didn't do it for 2 years. And so Joseph, on that last leg, mouldering away in a prison, is thinking like, when will this end? And maybe you're in a season or have been in a season like that. You know, Paul was certainly in those seasons. He was whipped, jailed, falsely accused, shipwrecked. So all these things happen, and when he probably thought to himself, I don't know if this can get much worse, a viper jumps out from a fire and bites him on the hand. Like, what the heck, you know? That is ridiculous. And so maybe in his mind it was that last leg thing of like, can I get through this life, please God, you know? And obviously John, which is a fascinating character, and a lot about John is actually written in other texts. It's not to say they're false, they're just not biblical, they're not canon scripture. But John had been through lots, being a follower of Jesus, walked with Jesus, and other accounts talk about John being boiled in oil but still surviving and so forth. And ultimately, because they couldn't kill him, he was exiled to the island of Patmos. That is part of the biblical account, the Patmos bit. The other stuff is extraneous. He was on this island, and it's out of that last leg experience where he was probably very lonely, or maybe so content with the company and revelation of the Holy Spirit that he was okay. We just don't know, but he was human. All these Bible characters, the Bible is so clear. These guys are human. You know, it says Elijah was a human just like us. And the Bible goes to great pains to show us they're not angels that walked on air. They were human and battled with the full spectrum of human emotion. And I'm sure John on the island of Patmos, before he wrote Revelation and various other parts of the Bible that we draw such encouragement from, I'm sure he battled with loneliness, weariness. When am I ever going to get through this? How can I complete this? How can I run my race well to the finish line? This is really taxing. And yet, in all of that struggle, completion seems to be a really high value of God. Really high. And so Paul, speaking to the Corinthians about this very thing of completion, says, and he's referring to a specific, a lot of these words that Paul gives are called occasional books of the Bible, meaning they are to a specific occasion, but the wisdom can be drawn for us today. He's speaking about giving, but it's the value of completion. 2 Corinthians 8:11. Now finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. In the Message, it's like this, and I think the Message as a companion read is really cool. Like, it really unpacks stuff. So here's what I think. The best thing you can do right now is to finish what you started last year and not let those good intentions grow stale. Your heart's been in the right place all along. You've got what it takes to finish up, so go to it. I love that. You know, when it comes to a year can be thrown away or redeemed on the last leg. It's a really powerful truth, right? A life begun well can be hijacked and destiny aborted in the hard times, or a commitment to finishing well, not perfect, by the way. God does not call us to finish perfect. He calls us to completion. He will perfect. Can spur a person onto the finish line. So this morning, I actually want to talk about the 8-week window in front of us. Now, believe it or not, and I'm not meaning to scare any of you, and you can count it up for verification, but we are exactly this Sunday, 8 weeks to the day until the 1st of January 2017. How's that? We are in an 8-week window until a brand new year clicks over. And today, I don't want to get heavy and teachy. I actually just want to talk about, really simply, how do you navigate that 8-week window that's in front of us? How do we do it so that we finish well what we set out to do in 2016? Now, the first 44 weeks of the year, because we've lived 44 weeks of 2016, how crazy is that? I'm not a big numbers person, but I do find it intriguing. The first 44, Stephen Lamb knows that. It's the only time I've ever cried at work, I think, over the numbers. Not that they were bad, I just didn't understand them, so I needed his help and it was freaking me out. Anyway, he's a really good helper too. He really explains it well. Your first 44 may have been a roaring success, right? You may have been promoted at work. You may feel really satisfied with life. Maybe you got married this year. Maybe you got saved this year. You know, that's amazing. And that, come on. Thank God for salvation. That is worth celebrating a year for, no matter how hard it's been. You got saved and came into eternal life, and that's amazing. Maybe you got baptized this year, and I love Becky seeing that image of you up on the video. It was fantastic. Maybe, actually, like Bella, you came back from mission this year and got plugged into church in a big way and have just been the biggest blessing to Shy Alive. You know, maybe it's been a very prosperous and successful year. Or maybe for you, frankly, it's been the year from hell. 44 weeks straight from hell, it's felt like. Maybe there has been... what? I always want to know. Oh, 44 Weeks from Hell. Who wants to produce that movie? Or write the book? maybe for you it's been fraught with maybe a marriage breakdown and it's been a very, very difficult 44 weeks for you. Maybe for you it's just been disappointing. Maybe you actually went into 2016 with some things in your heart you really desired and felt maybe even that God was saying that haven't happened, and there is deep disappointment and disillusionment going on in your heart. It's been a difficult 44 weeks. Can I just say, even if it's been just a painfully ordinary year, one more to chalk up on the life list, can I just say this last 8 weeks can be the remaking of a year for you? You know, it can actually take you back to a revelation of God's goodness. It can actually reframe and crown the year with purpose for you. Now, what I'm not saying is a false promise that God can make big miraculous events happen, and he can, and I have seen it happen. Things turn around in a moment, miracles happen, healings happen. But can I just say, more often than not in my life, it has been God giving me fresh perspective on something, the healing balm of his spirit, new eyes to see, and that has made all the difference. And can I promise you, that can happen for you in this last 8 weeks, that God can actually do that for you. And so this morning, I don't want to get super deep, but can I just say the principles that I'm talking about, I do believe, could change the way you see your 2016 and can set you up for a powerful 2017. The first one I want to talk about is take stock. Take stock. And by that, I actually mean take a moment to take a stock of what God has done in your world this year. Now, chapter 24 of Joshua, and we've been looking at the book of Joshua all year this year, is really intriguing because chapter 23, Joshua kind of signs off from life. It's really a bit bizarre, the whole order thing, right? He says in 23, I'm about to depart the land of the living. I'm about to go, and here's my final words to you, Israel. And he goes on and on and on. And then he comes back in chapter 24. It's really bizarre. It's like, hello, I'm here again. I didn't die when I thought I would. And he's kind of charged with the job of helping the Israelites take stock. And so in this last assignment that God gives him in his life, literally the entire chapter, which I won't read to you for the sake of time today, is literally a list of what God has done for them in all the taking ground, in all the battles, in all the weariness, all the establishment, taking time to just go bang, bang, and he did this and this and this and this and this. Let me give you a sample only, Joshua 24 verse 11. When you crossed the Jordan River and came to Jericho, the men of Jericho fought against you, as did the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. But I gave you victory over them, and I sent terror ahead of you to drive out the two kings of the Amorites. It was not your sword or bows that brought you victory. I gave gave you. I gave land you had not worked on. I gave you towns you did not build, the towns where you are now living. I gave you vineyards and olive groves for food, though you did not plant them. And it goes on like this in the chapter. What has God done for you this year? What has God done? Now, it may be really, you might go, that is a really unfair question, Christy. You don't know the particulars of my year. But can I say, in the hardest years of my life, I can still sit and go, God, I am in a church that preaches your word. I've got breath in my lungs, clothes on my back. I had breakfast this morning, and I have friends that care enough to call me. Maybe for you, there is other lists. My children are healthy, though it's been a difficult year in our family. You know, whatever it is for you, can I encourage you to do what Psalm 103 verse 2 says and forget not his benefits. Forget not his benefits. You know, he heals your sicknesses and disease. He, you know, all those things that he does for us. Can I say, write it down. Take a moment to take stock. Actually take stock that in the midst of the hardest trials, look for the providence of God this year. My husband and I are passionate we're passionate about a lot of things, but there's five things that really hit our button as a couple that are like our grace zone. And one of them for us particularly is giving. We get very excited about the grace gift of giving and actually helping, God helping us to recognize what is seed that is put in our hand to sow and what is bread for food. And we just decided in about June this year to take stock of the financial provision that God had given to our family, and like little miracles. And I'm not talking ridiculous stuff. I'm not talking like Kerry Packer mansions, all right? I'm talking about the everyday provision and wisdom in finance God had given us that year to stop and be grateful for what God had done. We could have done it in other areas too, but we just isolated it. And we had a journal page of bullet points of all the things. And we didn't realize, we knew God had been good, but we could itemize bit by bit, you know, gifts that we had been given, things that we had been able to give, areas where we set a goal not to get into debt, for example, to update our car to a family car. And God gave us the cheapest Nissan Murano of a certain year in Australia in the week that we bought. Can you believe that? Isn't that amazing? And we love it, and it's serving us really, really well. And we did not go into debt to do it because God provided. One of many, many ways that we could see the providence of God through our finances. Can I encourage you, take stock of the providence of God in different areas. There have been seasons in my life where maybe loneliness is the issue. And I pray, God, I don't feel like I have any kindred spirits. I don't feel like I have one or two girlfriends that I can just share my heart with and they get it. And I prayed and asked God for that. And believe it or not, in those years where other things were super difficult, really hard, but I could say the providence of God was these two friends, God, that you gave me this year, and they were heart connections. You know, the provision of accommodation, the provision of people that understand, a church that preaches the Bible. You know, these are the providence of God to you. Secondly, in terms of taking stock, it's taking time in this 8 weeks to take stock of what's inside of you that you need to sit with God on. And like there is that dimension where we go, God, you have been faithful to me, but I also need to take stock. Is there disillusionment in me? Is there disappointment? Is there things, expectations I couldn't even articulate I had, but I did. And I feel, God, I need to sit with you on those things and allow you to speak and presence yourself over those issues. Can I just say, I really felt in the preparation for this message that there would be people here that are disillusioned. They were things that you came into this year with and you are disillusioned. You feel like you had certain expectations that weren't met. Can I just say these 8 weeks could change everything? And I don't mean necessarily that those things are met, but that God reframes your perspective and he does what Psalm 65:11 says. You crown the year with a bountiful harvest, even the hard pathways, and some of us have had some of those this year, overflow with abundance. Thank you, Jesus. You can crown the year in these last 8 weeks with great harvest and abundance, and that I can leave this year with a fresh heavenly perspective. So I want to encourage you, take stock. Take stock. The second thought I have about these last 8 weeks, this significant 8-week window that we can navigate well, to finish well, not perfect, but well, is actually seize the last opportunities. Seize the last opportunities. You know, 8 weeks is substantial. And the temptation is, I think in our culture, the weather gets warm and the care gets thrown off. The weather gets warm and we go, summer's here. Stuff everything. It's time to slow down. Look, there is a part of me that is ready for that, a ready for a break. I said to Andrew, I'm so ready to have some beach days and some slower days coming to the end of the year. It's going to be really fun. But I don't want to fritter 8 weeks away. I don't want to squander the opportunity that God has in these 8 weeks for you. It says in Proverbs 23, a house is built by wisdom and becomes strong by good sense. Now, you may not approach this 8 weeks the same way you'd approach a February, but there has to be wisdom and good sense applied to what we've been given. It's a resource. Time is a resource to be used. And so this morning now, there's going to be family opportunities and all sorts of things that God is calling you to in the next 8 weeks. But I do briefly want to talk about 5 things in the life of our church that we, as God's people in this house, are called to seize upon as opportunities before the year is out. And the first one I want to talk about is our summer service times. As I mentioned, you know, that it is heating up and summer officially begins in December, but I reckon in the Shire, summer begins psychologically the minute we get a 30-degree day, right? Summer's here. Dang, have to pack the heater away, Sarah. And so we've felt it wisdom in the life of our church that though we are a multiple service church, and that has been hugely successful following God in that, we've seen growth this year, numeric growth in our church. We've seen families added to us simply because we obeyed a word from God that said we need to provide more opportunity. We're in a society where sport is played and things happen and life happens. We need an 8:30 opportunity and a 10:30 opportunity as well as our evening service. We have felt during summer it is wisdom in our society, where particularly the Sutherland Shire, where people enjoy summer holidays, where things slow down, to honour the capacity and resource of our volunteers within our church, that we need to trim down our services for a period of time across summer. And we've decided the best time to do that is actually as of next Sunday. And what that means is things just get simplified for a season. So from now until the week after Vision Sunday in February, second week of February, we are going to 2 services on a Sunday, a 9:30 and a 5:30. Those 2 services, morning services, to redefine if you're new around here, are all about the teaching and ministry of the Word of God. PM services perform a different function. They are word-based. Don't get me wrong. We don't read from a different text. But they have a strong ministry focus. And so people in our church are 2 service people. They come for the impartation and teaching of the word, and they come for ministry in the evening. It's 2-part. What the temptation sometimes I feel in our 21st century life is to go, you robbed me of my early service, or you took away my sleep in. I actually think a better approach for us is to go, God, I understand and read the times, and I'm committed to a 9:30 service through summer, because that is where the people are at and that is what is going to minister to our community, our volunteers and so forth. So we are now, as of next week, our new rhythm through summer is 9:30 and 5:30. So 9:30, 5:30. Next thing I want to talk about is I have decided on the 20th of November. Now, it is a baptism service, and we have these regularly through the year. But I want to talk about the importance of baptism just very briefly. If you are here and you've not been baptized, you're loved by God, and it's amazing what he's doing in your life. Baptism is a breakthrough moment of obedience. Jesus even went so far in the Great Commission, his last recorded words on the earth, Mark 16, verse 15, and he said to them, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved." So believing and baptizing are linked. Salvation, that decision we make, and baptism are linked. Can I just say too, the concept of readiness that we sometimes put around baptism, like have a few years to get ready for baptism, is not actually biblical. It's not biblical. Philip and the Ethiopian, right, on the road, they were on a road together, and Paul is explaining scripture. No sooner does he lead him to the Lord in salvation than they stop at a creek on the side of the road and baptize him. So can I just say, it is completely possible for one of your friends to get saved in the AM service and baptized in the evening service on the same day. So can I encourage you not to overlook the possibility that you might be a candidate for baptism. I've seen people delivered. I've seen people's lives changed just in that act of obedience in baptism. I had one friend who really felt, and this is not the typical story, by the way, and it's not your answers to your miracles are not contingent upon baptism, but the Lord said to her, "You're believing for a baby and you've been trying for a long time. I want you to be obedient to me and get baptized." And she did and fell pregnant. Now, I'm not saying that is everybody's story, by the way. That is not doctrine. We do not make doctrine of experience. But the principle of obedience to the word of the Lord, the principle of obedience to his voice to you stands. I do want to say, if you have a child that is showing interest in baptism and it is a voluntary thing, it's not like infant christening. We don't practice that in this church. We respect those that do. But we don't feel that for us it's a biblical revelation. Baptism is voluntary. And if your kids are showing interest, or you have a conversation explaining it and they show interest and you feel perhaps they're ready, and when it's children, there is a question of readiness. You can talk to Pastor Hannah or Pastor Deb and they'll help you walk your child through and ascertain whether it's the right time. Youth kids as well, we love it when our youth get baptized, but we are diligent about respecting parental authority. So we have many parents that send their kids here because they trust and love Shy Love Youth, but we still respect their parental authority, their God-given parental authority to have a say in what goes on. So we have a waiver form for anyone under 18. So you will need to jump onto that. So our classes are 13th of November at 4 p.m. You don't have to be getting baptized to go to the class, okay? Sometimes some of us just need to go and sit and hear the biblical explanation, and you might do it next time. We're not going to force the issue with you, by the way. You can slip in and slip out. No questions will be asked. You'll just get a really good biblical explanation, and you are welcome and invited to hear about baptism if that's something you desire. Let me take a breath. Being pregnant and preaching is fantastic, but breathtaking in the truest sense of the word. Okay, let's look at Breakfast by the Beach, and thank you for the slide up there. This is a fantastic opportunity for every woman in the church from youth age right up to our awesome grandmothers. on the 26th of November, we do this for two reasons. One is the friendship of women. There is just certain occasions where it's just really fun just getting together with chicks, or blokes, if you blokes do that as well. There is something about the odd occasion, not all the time. We're not weird like that. We don't segregate our church. But the odd occasion to just enjoy the friendship of women is fantastic. But it is also an opportunity in a really easy environment to invite a friend, because there is no altar call, there is no worship, there is no awkward stuff that could get you uncomfortable. It's just a good, easy first touch at church life. Renee Bennett, I was talking to Pastor Ali last night about her, and I have listened to a few of Renee's podcasts. She's just real. That is the best way to describe Renee. She talks, she's a real woman. She talks about real stuff, like anxiety, like recovering from relational breakdown, like recovering from or coping with the complexities of life. She's just real. She doesn't fluff it up. She doesn't, you know, she's not Ali said, she's not pretentious in any way. And I said, well, that's a change, isn't it? And I said, joking. Just sharing our private conversations. Renee is awesome and you're going to really enjoy her women. And she is perfect to bring a mum, a sister, a daughter, a friend to. She's really great. And you get a really nice hot breakfast as well. So can I encourage you? Seize the opportunity. Last two are the gift giving service on the 4th of December. Like usual, our Christmas tree will be up with tags where you can go girl aged 10 to 12 on it, or if you would prefer to buy for a guy, guy aged 18 to 20, whatever it is. And you can take that tag and ready for the gift giving service on the 4th of December, you can purchase a gift for someone that you may never meet. I love it. Do you? I just, what I love about it, right, is I don't want my kid growing up with the mindset that everything is all about him. Anyone else with me? I want my child to be blessed, to know his love, to have ample, but I want him to always make it about other people. And so I just love it. There's many other reasons I love this gift-giving service. That is probably my primary one. I want Oliver to grow up in a family that is about others. And so we'll be purchasing gifts. He doesn't understand it yet, but it will just be part of our norm, part of our family norm. If you're new, what we do in that service is we present our gift under a tree that's on the stage, and it's during worship, and we all file up. It's the funnest thing. It may be the only time you can be on stage. and we can talent scout. Who looks great on stage? Anyway, get back on track. So we're about 99% certain it will be Sutherland Hospital and local refuges again. We want to lock in those partners. They're worthy partners and they've served us well in the past. And so I want to encourage you, it's an opportunity to seize. However, I reckon one of the biggest opportunities and the final one I want to talk to you about from a church perspective is our Carols in the Shire on Saturday, 17th of December. Now, it's actually one of the few biggest family Christmas events in the Sutherland and St. George area. It is a cracking event to bring your friends to. So big opportunity for community. Sam Moran, former Wiggle, we won't be saying that on the night. Apparently it's illegal to do that. He's going to be performing again. And my kid loves the Wiggles, right? That style of performance. It's been amazing watching that whole thing emerge quite naturally. Other guests will be announced soon. But it is a cracking opportunity to invite your friends and family to something you will feel proud of. The gospel will be presented in a way that's really easy, really palatable on the night. And just, again, that first step. And Christmas is just really easy in terms of people's hearts being soft to the message of the gospel. Just to steward you and your time and energy well too, because wisdom builds a house. Because we've had to change it to a Saturday, Carols in the Domain, after 20 million years of a Saturday night, Carols decided they'd shift to a Sunday. Go figure. And so we want to respect that our culture respects that one as one of the foremost carols. We don't want to mess with that, but we've just shifted to a Saturday. What that means, though, is we only have a 9:30 service on the 18th of December. Saturday night becomes our night service, and that is just wisdom. We are not into creating havoc in your family. We're not into burning our volunteers out. We are into wise management. Wisdom builds a house. And so, 17th of December, the night time, we'll do carols. Then we'll come to church in the morning and celebrate God's goodness and how amazing it was. And then, lovely free night. Fantastic. So bring people along. So it's going to be great. There are opportunities to seize for you to bring people. 8 weeks is a long time. 8 weeks is a significant period of time to seize the opportunity. Finally, as our worship band comes up, this last 8 weeks is all about maintaining the ground that you've taken this year. Now, can I just say, before you cancel yourself out and go, I haven't taken any ground this year. Can I just say, for some of you, it's been a really hard year, but you remained married. For some of you, your marriage broke down and you served Jesus faithfully in spite of it. You have taken ground. For some of you, it has been an all-out battle with your kids. There has been challenges because of the age they're at, and you have remained faithful in your parenting. You have taken ground. For some of you, school was really hard, but you finished the year. You didn't quit. For some of you, the list goes on. Maintain ground. Joshua, in that same chapter where he takes stock of the goodness of God, literally line by line, this is all that God has done for us. He then switches to making a decision in the light of all God has done to set his face like flint and encourage the Israelites to do the same, to move forward, to maintain the ground they've taken, and to finish well. Let me read it to you. Joshua 24 verse 14 says, "So fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly. Put away forever the idols of your ancestors worship when they lived beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt. Serve the Lord alone. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you'll serve. Would you prefer the gods of your ancestors serve beyond the Euphrates, or will the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. We will maintain the ground we've taken. We'll set our face like flint. We will serve Jesus all the days of our life," he's saying. You know, for some this morning, what maintaining ground for you means is just freshly rededicating your life to the purposes of God. You know, hard year and all, God, I will continue to serve you until my dying day, till my last breath, Lord, no matter what the years entail, because there is no certainty for any of us, I rededicate my life to you, Lord Jesus. For some, literally, it is about turfing off enemies that have come onto your land. What has been inhabiting your ground? Maybe there is bitter attitudes that have come and camped on your ground. And you know, in the next 8 weeks for you, it is about turfing that stuff out and dealing with it before you end the year. Maybe there are some apologies you need to make, but whatever it is, you need to clear and maintain the ground that you have taken this year. Can I say, and I've said it a few times this morning, completion is better than perfection. This next 8 weeks is not about perfection. God help any of us if it is. Because we just have to choose to complete the year well. God will perfect it. Psalm 138:8 says, "The Lord will perfect that which concerns me." He will perfect it. You just have to complete and be willing to finish. Finish well. He'll perfect it. He'll make it all work out. You don't need to worry about that stuff. So I guess in the last moments of this service, where we're going to worship just for a few moments before Jackson comes.